Welcome to the Salesforce Developer Podcast. My name is René Winkelmeier, and in this podcast, I'm hosting Salesforce Developer Advocates who are going to share insightful stories, new tips, techniques, and actually everything you have to know these days as a Salesforce developer. Today, I'm very happy to talk about Retrieval Augmented Generation, or in short, RAG, and Data Cloud with no one else than Dave Norris, right from Australia. Hi, Dave.
Hi, René.
Great to have you on the podcast again. And you're talking about, or you want to talk to me, or we want to talk actually about a topic that is really hot at the moment, which is RAG. So what is it?
That is a good question. Let's try and go through it together. And René, please chime in if you've got anything to add. I always like starting with the problem statement before we get too into the weeds from the technical standpoint. I think a long time ago, many people on this call will have been searching things, whether that be things in Notepad or in Word documents or in PDFs. And typically to do that up until now, we've been very used to doing keyword searching. And that helps us find specific records or perhaps specific areas of text. And it's been traditionally a good fit for databases, for things in rows and columns. And that's typically for many years what we used in Salesforce Global Search, for instance, when you wanted to search for an account number, as an example. So that's really a good fit for structured data, things in rows and columns. But what it's not been good at historically is finding data with similar meanings. So understanding the context of really what you want to search for. So it's also not good at finding information in unstructured sources, things like PDFs and emails. And certainly at Dreamforce this year, I think I heard a stat saying 90% of an enterprise's data is in that unstructured format. So that problem of not having access to the unstructured data is compounded when you add in generative AI, because we've all been using ChatGPT or Google Gemini. We know that the quality and relevancy of the response we're getting from these large language models is directly proportional to the quality of the data that we're providing in our prompts. So the more time we spend writing prompts, then the better the response we're going to get from the large language model. I think I like to come up with an example here, René. Can I give an example, see if it makes sense to you?
Feel free.
So I was asked the other day to summarize a meeting. And I was thinking, wow, if I was asked to summarize our last team meeting, René, for our team, and let's just say hypothetically, if I'd missed that meeting, it would be an almost impossible task given no context. You weren't there. You didn't know what was discussed. You didn't see the whiteboard if they were using a whiteboard. You've got no text that was perhaps noted down. You've got no meeting minutes. So it would be an impossible task. So in order to give that person or me a better chance of summarizing what went in that meeting, it would be appreciated if people would give me some additional input. So if I had the meeting minutes, if I had pictures of the whiteboard, if someone gave me a transcript of what was being said in that meeting, I could do a much better job of summarizing the meeting. So context is everything. And that to me is really what retrieval augmented generation is in a nutshell. I'm allowing someone to retrieve additional information. That's the retrieval part. So it can augment a prompt. In that case, it was a request to summarize a meeting. And it's going to allow me to generate a much better and accurate response. So in a nutshell, that's sort of how I'd summarize what retrieval augmented generation is in something that's tangible for most people listening. Do you have a better description, René? You probably do.
Maybe, or maybe not. I think there are a couple of different elements that you touched, and I think it would be really go from left to right, because doing RAG with Gen AI is really at the end, right? But you brought up 90% of data is stored in some kind of document. And you said unstructured data, which I think is really true. One thing that we worked on, for example,
was like policy documents for our sample app, Coral Cloud Resort, like cancellation policies or rental policies or wedding planning guides, like 10, 20, 30, 40 pages of PDF with, you know, lots of data, but that doesn't really fit into any row or column, as you said. Now, when we look at Data Cloud as the ingestion point really for unstructured data, you know, what can you share about that?
Yeah, so I mean, if we take the point of, you know, what is retrieval augmented generation, and we put in Data Cloud now into the picture, what we want to be able to do is be able to ingest these unstructured data sources. So that's priority number one. So typically, people are storing them in hyperscalers like Google, Amazon, and Microsoft. And they will be things like chat transcripts, PDFs. Let's provide the capability to ingest them. So Data Cloud provides the capability via unstructured data model objects, or data lake objects is where you would start in Data Cloud. And it allows you to connect to these hyperscalers to then connect to a specific place that you're putting these files. So in Amazon, for example, you would set up a bucket with, say, PDF files in. So that's problem one. Then you need a way, as new PDFs get dropped into these buckets, you need a way to notify Data Cloud that new data is available to ingest. So that's something called the file notifier architecture. And then we need to add on things like search indexes, which take these big sources of information, like a PDF in this example, and break that big PDF into chunks of text. And then we need to run it through a search index, which is a Data Cloud term. And that's really going to take the chunks of text and look for the context or meaning in that text and convert it to something a computer can understand, which in this case is a vector, and then store that in a database. So that's sort of the high level left to right flow in Data Cloud. And once it's ingested it and we've applied a search index to it and we've stored the context of each text in a vector, we can then create vector searches. And that's really where it melds into the world of generative AI and Agentforce, because now we're able to take search terms or prompts and then look for semantically similar text from these PDF files. How was that for a summary?
I think it was a really good summary. I think I want to anchor on two of the things that I saw with the search capabilities. Because search index is a native capability in Data Cloud, you actually don't, you know, it's not only usable in prompts for grounding them, but also it's available, for example, via the query API, right? So you actually can do a vector search just with SQL. And I think there's a pretty fine method, if I call this correctly, right?
Exactly, yeah. Called vector search. Yeah. Just to keep things nice and easy for developers.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you raised two good points there. One is, as a developer, if I was doing this from scratch and I wasn't using Data Cloud, you know, firstly, you have to understand how vector embeddings work. You have to choose a vector embedding model from a third-party provider. You would have to convert the text that you're extracting from the PDFs and run it through the embedding model. And then you'd have to have some sort of database, maybe a Postgres database, to store your vector embeddings. So everything we talked about in Data Cloud is doing that, but it's doing that for you without you having to create it. So that was a good point, René.
Which I think is really good, because it also showcases the abstraction layer that we know from the platform, right? You don't have to build, do it yourself all the time. And when I was building some of the things for Coral Cloud recently with unstructured data, I was really like, okay, that's it. Right. I mean, some things were not as easy as I thought, because the file notifier system on the hyperscalers is something that maybe you're maybe not used to. But the tools were good to get this up and running. But the pure setup on here's the bucket with all my PDFs and creating my unstructured data lake object up until I had the search index, that was really fast. Right.
Yeah.
With really, I don't want to exaggerate, but 10 minutes on this part, I was done. And I could use everything already, which I think was really impressive.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you mentioned you know, having the ability to create an SQL statement with a function in there called vector search. And really all we're doing there is using that function and passing in a string. And what the vector database does under the covers is it looks at what semantically similar terms it has in the vector database and then gives you some results that you can rank based on how semantically similar they are. That's pretty amazing with one query, because obviously you can do, as you said, you can do that via the API, or you can do it via Apex as well. If you're a Salesforce developer, you can query that straight from your Apex class. But I think recently introduced in September, they're making it even easier by introducing semantic retrievers as well. And this is effectively doing the vector search for you, but doing it in a completely no-code interface. So anyone using Prompt Builder would see an additional option in the top right-hand side. So they can ground their prompt with data from their Salesforce database, so things like accounts and contacts, which would give them a pretty accurate response for their prompt. But if they wanted to make their prompt even more relevant and perhaps start getting access to some of this unstructured data, then they can use these new semantic retrievers to effectively do that for them, to include that data in Prompt Builder. So it's just a way, you can see how Agentforce is really allowing you to start with the setup in Salesforce using your Salesforce data, but then you can start taking that data to the next level by leveraging information stored in Data Cloud.
Which actually was what I did last time, right? And that was really, really interesting to actually build a prompt using Einstein Search. That's the menu item of the resource. And I just used a default retriever. I didn't even like build something custom. And I created kind of a meta prompt, right? Like my prompt, the input was like any input the user would ask, basically. And then I configured the retriever, but basically take this input as is and run your vector search. And the prompt was also super easy because it said, this is your input and whatever free text it is. This is the information you have. And that was basically just the JSON from the retriever. And then I ended my prompt with validate if the information that has been asked is available in the information that is provided. If not, say it. Otherwise, build a short summary. That's it. Very meta, right? No description, no additional like fine tuning, just for my very first exploration with that. And it was super accurate, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what as you said, it's retrieval augmented generation. And the augmentation is basically, here's the information, validate it, and then give me the result, which made the call really, really nice.
Exactly. You can sort of see how RAG now fits into that end-to-end use case of starting with a prompt in Agentforce. But instead of going straight to a large language model, what we're doing is we're really asking Data Cloud for some additional context. In this case, we're running that semantic search. And then we're providing the results of that semantic search into the prompt itself. So that now when it goes to the large language model to get a response or summarize the information, then it's got an additional context that's going to provide a much better response. And if you've ever used this, you'll know exactly what we mean. It might be helpful to go through a couple of examples, Rene. I know I can go through the one we did at Dreamforce 24 in the Data Cloud Zone, if that would help.
Sure, absolutely.
So I think to bring this to life, what we were using at Dreamforce was a fictitious company called Coral Cloud Resort. And their setup was basically the resort uses third parties to run experiences, things like whitewater rafting or zip lining, but they're run by third-party companies. And the agreement is the third-party companies provide PDFs to Coral Cloud Resort that they can put into reception. So as guests walk in, they can peruse the experiences they might like to partake. The challenge, and this is where, when people listen to this, hopefully they're looking at how they can apply this to their industry or their specific business problem. For Coral Cloud, you can imagine if a guest comes in and says, can you tell me experiences that might be appropriate for children over 12 years old? the person working in reception will have no idea what's in the hundreds of PDFs or across all of these experiences. They won't really be able to provide the guest with an accurate answer. So what we decided to do is take these 100 PDFs, put them into a hyperscaler, use the file notification service to notify Data Cloud when new PDFs arrived. We applied the search index. And then what we were able to do is augment a prompt. So when someone, you know, types into Agentforce, find experiences for children over 12, we could first execute in Apex. We were using Apex in our case. We could have used Prompt Builder to call out, execute the vector search, just an SQL query for Data Cloud, get back the semantically similar terms. In this case, we were using age. So it's finding PDFs that specified an age restriction. And then we were providing the results into a large language model prompt. So, and again, as Rene's alluded to, this is where you can start applying some guide rails as well. So in our case, you know, we were saying things like in our prompt, if you don't find a good answer in the results returned from our vector search, then just say you don't know what the answer is. Don't try and make something up with other knowledge you might have as part of your large language model to prevent hallucinations. So, you know, with a very simple guest query, someone in reception could type something in and get a list of experiences that matched their request. So that's one example of how we could use this. But I know, Rene, you probably got another good one.
I think that's actually like a really good example. I think there's an opportunity to refine it. And that's what I did with Coral Cloud was basically I had a bucket of, you know, PDFs like policy for cancellation on how to, you know, book a wedding, valet parking, whatever, for a fictitious resort. And this is just like a, you know, the bucket of policy documents because
yeah, we all know them, Rene. They're the really long documents no one reads when you start a new company.
Exactly. And, you know, they're like all the documents that you have that are, you know, in some type of category, right? Yeah. Something's around organization, internal policies, customer-facing policies, whatnot, like, you know, hundreds of PDFs. So I had a very specific retriever, which was just focused on customer-facing policies. And the way that I used this was basically like I built a prompt, you know, the one that I described before. And what I did was I used a prompt template action for my customer and employee-facing agent. And in the instructions, I just said, if you're asked about policies for wedding, valet, et cetera, then use this specific action. So what this allowed me to do was to have one agent was able to use RAG from very different data sources. But the categorization that I applied was basically in the agent action instructions. Right, to make it really smart, so it's not going to try to look up, you know, valet policies if it's asked about internal security policies, for example.
Yep.
Which is, I think it was really, really showed, again, as you also said, is you can use Agentforce really well with just like core data that you have in your Salesforce org, but it also really enriches, and again, the experience if you want to go down the Data Cloud route and going to use RAG on how to provide an even better experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's got a lot of potential. And I think one thing I learned in the experience of using vector search was spending some time on your prompt engineering. You know, even things to make sure that it was giving you, I wanted to make sure that it was giving me some justification on why it picked certain PDFs in the response. And I wanted to make sure it gave me citations as well in my response so I could see the PDF or perhaps the text chunk that it was getting its information from. Including things like that helped me make sure that my prompt was returning the information that was accurate. So I don't know if you found something similar, Rene, but that's a tip for me. Work on prompt engineering.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's just like an ongoing mechanism that we have to, you know, it's a muscle everyone has to develop, which I think is, you know, very, very different example where I really saw that prompt engineering, really side right now, is really key. Yeah. And native. It should be native for everyone. as I had yesterday an experience, no, actually on Saturday, an experience with my daughter, nearly 12 years old, and she wanted to go for a run or started running. I was like, cool, no, you can take that route or that route, trying to give her some advice on what would be a good starting point for someone who's like really into sports, but also like take it easy. And while I was talking to her, she was like, as a teenager is, mumbling and typing something into her phone, right? And then I asked her, what do you think? What should you do? And her answer was like, hey, I got it already. I asked ChatGPT for a training plan for a 12-year-old. And then she started to explain to me what it was, right? So Gen AI became, I was super surprised how native it was to her already to use Gen AI. Actually, her prompt wasn't as good, so I helped her like to refine that she got a better output and also help understand, like validate what you get.
Yeah.
But I think that's like, you know, it should be really native to everyone to like prompt engineering, how to write a good prompt or how to guardrail it. I think it's something that everyone has to learn, really.
Yeah, watch this space. I'm sure we'll cover it in the next few podcasts for sure.
I think that's very skillful. You just can't miss out. Before we close out, because I've been nearly at time, I have one thing I want to bring up is, because you said it at the very much beginning, like traditional search mechanisms are column and row based keyword search, right? I mean, that's what we use when we go to a search engine, right? We give our keyword and hope the result is as good as possible. Now, there is a feature in Data Cloud which actually makes vector search even better, which is called keyword search. And the combination is hybrid search. Maybe you can like explain for 1 or 2 or 3 minutes what that is.
Yeah. So hybrid search currently in beta, really, as Rene said, it takes the best of both worlds. So vector search understands semantic similarities and context, but lacks what we would call domain vocabulary. So let me give you an example. So if you're searching for a policy number, it wouldn't be very good at that, or an account number or a contact ID. Keyword search excels at that lexical similarity, but not at semantic similarity. So hybrid search really combines the strengths of semantically aware vector search with the precision and speed of keyword search. And in a nutshell, that's pretty much what it's doing. It's creating two search indexes, the vector search index that we covered, and now a new keyword search index. And then it has a way of ranking the results to get the best result towards the top of the ranking model. So again, if you think about using generative AI and Agentforce to the best of its ability, it's all going to be about what data you supply it. So again, this is going to give you a way of getting even more accurate responses, especially for those specific domain vocabulary you might have in your industry or your company.
And the good thing, there's also another method, that's where I stumbled the first time over it, which is not called vector search, but it's actually called hybrid search. So you can invoke this from Apex or from the query API and really just have access to this data. And as you said, like in the best ranked experience, which I think is pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah. So if you're using Prompt Builder or Agentforce or Flow, then this is going to be your new best friend moving forward.
Awesome. Dave, thank you very much for being on the podcast. It was a pleasure as always. I learned a lot as always and looking forward to see you soon again.
Thanks, Rene.
If you're still here, thanks for listening and head over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast to check out all our episodes. And also, check out the show notes, because that's where you will find all the great links to provide you more information and insights about all the topics we talked about today. Bye-bye.